Good afternoon. We're here this afternoon for two public hearings. Planning zoning has not made a recommendation to the council on either one of these, so there'll be no decisions rendered today on either one of the two applications. With that being said, I will ask Mr. Griffin, our attorney, to tell you how we will run the meeting this afternoon. They're run a little bit different way planning zoning does theirs. And then he will start with the first conditional use. Mr. Griffin.
Good afternoon. My name is Jim Griffin. I'm the county attorney. When county council holds hearings of this type, they are legislative hearings. They're legislative in the sense that the council uses the information that they obtain during the hearing from all sources in determining what decision to make, whether to grant an application or to deny an application. No decision can be made, as Mr. Duke said, because today we haven't yet received a recommendation from the commission, and council must await that recommendation. But both hearings are pre-advertised at the same time, so the hearing has to go on today, even if we don't have their recommendation. The procedure that will follow is that when each application is announced, Mr. Lank, who's the director of planning and zoning, will tell us what the took place at the time of the commission hearing. And we have 8 pages of single-spaced notes on that are actually minutes of that commission hearing. So each member of council has already had a chance to read all those minutes and to look at and see the comments that were made both for and against. After Mr. Lank informs council of the action or non-action taken at the commission level, then we'll call on the applicant to present their case. We have to run a hearing that's orderly. We have to have a record, an audio record that's created that can be recreated in case there is ever any court proceeding as a result of a decision reached at this level. So it's very important that the person who is speaking be allowed to give their speech without input from the audience, such as audible expressions of approval or disapproval of what they're saying, or after somebody says something, applause. That's not helpful, and we would ask you not to do that. If there's a person here who has a point to make before the day's over, you'll be allowed to make that point. It's not as if you're going to be denied an opportunity to speak. Having said that, the decision that council will ultimately make on this matter does not depend on how many times someone might repeat the same point. These gentlemen are fairly astute, and they've done these hearings for a number of years. So if you have a spokesperson, the spokesperson will give your input. If you don't have a spokesperson and you have a point to make, we'll let you make it. But it's not helpful to hear the same point 20 or 30 times from that many different individuals. After the applicant is given their presentation, the applicant will typically, if they're represented by an attorney, their attorney will present it and call any witnesses they want to call. After that, we'll ask if there's anybody else here in support of, and they'll be given an opportunity to make their points. After that's happened, we will then determine whether or not there's anyone here in opposition, and I assume there is, given the number of people here today. The people in opposition, if they have a representative, their representative will be allowed to state their positions. We understand that if some of you may have retained an attorney or someone to represent you, that that attorney may not represent everyone and every that is opposed to an application. So if there are people here not represented by the attorney who have individual points that they want to make, those persons will be allowed to speak, bearing in mind that, again, you know, we don't want to hear the same thing 20 times, because we could stay here until 6 o'clock tonight to get all those put on the record if that were the case. Does anybody have any questions? After both sides have gone, we don't then allow, there's no cross-examination, so your representative can't cross-examine the applicant, and the applicant's representative can't cross-examine people who are here in opposition. So that's pretty much it. There's no rebuttal. Also, the applicant presents their case up front, and after they've heard the opposition, they don't get to come back to the stand and make a rebuttal. It's not like a trial. It's a legislative hearing. Council wants to hear you. It's not a point. Today is not the occasion for council to tell you what they think. It's the occasion to hear what you want council to hear and which they will process and keep in mind at the time they make their decision. Their decision has to be made on the record of the public hearing. They can't make a decision on something that occurred outside the walls of this room, such as if somebody has contacted the councilman on the telephone. That's just extraneous matter. What happens, the decision that's made today has to be based on what we hear and hear. Sorry to be so long, but I just wanted to lay down those ground rules. Everybody comfortable? Anyone have any questions? I realize there's some people I can't see. Yes?
If the person spoke last time during the other meeting?
That doesn't matter. This is a new hearing, a completely different hearing.
Thank you.
We don't have a list of the people who spoke, and we're not checking to say you can't speak. You've already been heard.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. I'd like to know, are these minors, are they going to be able to get up and speak also?
I'm not certain what you're talking about.
I'm talking about, I said, about young people in this room.
Well, we allow any member of the public to be here, and we don't control the order of presentation and who may be brought forward as a witness. So I guess we'll have to deal with that as it occurs.
It's a zoning issue, and I was figuring a lot of these teenagers and young people here are not property owners.
Well, although it is a zoning issue, we have to consider the viewpoint of residents. That means residents who may not own property. It could mean a resident who rents a property from somebody. Or lives in a mobile home park that's owned by a large corporation. So we do consider the viewpoints of both property owners and non-property owners. As long as they are residents and can show that they in some way or their quality of life might be affected.
What do you mean by a resident?
Well,
someone under 18, Jim.
Pardon me?
What do you mean by a resident?
That's not defined in our code. So someone from a different part of the county, they sometimes come and will say things, but of course, council then has to decide what weight to give that. If they live 15 miles away, council might say, that's not as persuasive to me as if someone lives 500 feet from the place.
But Jim, it's a public hearing, so just basically anybody who's considered part of the public, right? We haven't defined who can speak and who can't speak. So your question is, can young people speak?
Yes.
I would assume, yes, they can, sir. Yes.
In courts of law, they have specific rules about how old somebody has to be, and it's fairly young. Even in court, if a person is, who may be not even a teenager, often testify in court proceedings.
As long as they're smarter than a fifth grader.
We got some people. I went to the sixth grade, Mr. Cole.
Which doesn't include some of us.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you going to, at the last meeting, at the end of the meeting, he had a count for yes and a count for no. Are y'all going to have that?
I hope we not. We don't control how the presentations come into us.
We're not going to ask you for a show of hands, probably.
And hopefully you'll be given comfort by the fact that decisions are not based on a show of hands, but on this. And I assume that this is probably an issue of land use and whether it's an appropriate land use in a specific area. That's what we want to hear about.
I think with a lot of residents, a lot of underage teenagers that were showing their hands, and a lot of people were upset about that.
Yeah.
Well, they're residents. They're entitled to be here. They're members of the public, and obviously they're going to be the future of all of us someday.
When we have multiple cases on one night, we usually ask for that because there's several parties of interest in other cases that aren't really involved, and we try to get a balance for numbers. It's not really a vote count. It's just letting us know how many people are there and interest in that application.
Mr. Griffin, before we start, Gay, is there anybody else standing back there?
Can you speak up? We can't hear you back here, please.
All right, there's seats up here on the second row.
There are some more seats if you want to come forward.
Price is the same.
Yeah, don't be bashful.
Sir, you want a seat?
Here.
Okay.
It's not one side against the other. We're all here together getting the seat.
Is that all that everybody's seated now? Okay.
Do I have a better chance of fitness?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we'll ask Mr. Lang to give us his report.
The first application is conditional use number 1701. The application of Bridget M. Nicholson to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for new and used furniture sales, a thrift shop, and office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 23,899 square feet, more or less, lying at the southwest corner of Road 370 and Road 384 at Byard. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on September 27th of 2007. We had received comments from DLDOT and the County Engineering Department. The applicant was present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. However, at the conclusion of the public hearing, the Commission did defer action. There is a report before Council, as stated previously, and that gives a full synopsis of the public hearing. For the benefit of Council, I passed down a copy of the survey, and I would ask if Mrs. Nicholson is present.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
And could you state your name and address before making your statement?
Bridget M. Nicholson. My home address is 35352 Byard Road.
Could you explain your application and tell Council what you'd like to do and why you would like to have it approved?
Yes, there's actually a conditional use on the property at this time, but it's for a cabinet making shop. And I have thought that this had been corrected probably about 8 years ago, and I thought it apparently has not. So I have a small thrift shack on the property.
So you made the application to bring this use into compliance?
Correct.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to tell Council about what you plan to do there, how you'll operate the business, the hours?
Okay, I'm normally open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 5, closed Sundays and Mondays. It's just a used furniture, knickknacks, that kind of stuff that's been there.
And what would you propose to do outside the building? Will you be displaying merchandise or?
The merchandise that is outside on the concrete pad is things that can withstand weather, like outdoor furniture and that kind of thing.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I have. I was formerly part of Uncle Sugar's Moving Company, which is no longer on the property. I probably have a truck arrive at my store maybe two or three times a week. It's a NACA kind of store where there's more than two cars ever there, that kind of thing.
So the moving company doesn't store their vehicles there?
No, anymore. There's no dispatch done from there. That entire operation has been moved over to Route 54 at the old antique mall on a commercial property. So it's pretty quiet.
Council have any questions of Ms. Nicholson?
I go by there a lot, and the outside display, sometimes the stuff does seem like it was sitting there. I don't know if it was when Sugar was operating it, but that would be one problem I think that some of the neighbors may have had or will have if the outside display is not curtailed a little bit, because sometimes the rain gets to it and it's a bunch of, turns into junk.
Absolutely.
And it just... that could be a concern, I think.
Mm-hmm. The only other thing that I've heard is something to do with parking the trucks, but I think it was concern of the dangerous corner. But
was there an attempt to put a awning out there over top that cement pad? And that
by a former business partner, yes.
Right. And what was the problem there? Lack of permits?
Correct. Right.
Ms. Phillips, questions?
No, sir.
Mr. Rogers?
No, sir.
Mr. Jones?
Just what you said, Tuesday through Saturday, you would like 9 to 5, was that correct? And then it was, you said Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then on Saturday.
Saturday, 10 to 2.
Is that just Saturday?
Yeah.
That's wrong. That's a misprint.
That's all I have.
Okay. It's, like I said, it's a pretty quiet operation, but...
I just saw it.
We'll see if there's anyone else here.
Certainly. Thank you.
Anyone else here who wishes to be heard in support of this application?
I'll tell you what.
Is there anyone here who wishes to be heard in opposition to this application?
Okay.
Could you please come forward one at a time? And just state your name and your address before you make your statement.
My name is Sally Ford, and I live at 35227 Bayard Road, which is approximately four properties away from this property. And actually, the number one concern is the same one Mr. Cole presented, and that is that furniture is left outside, appliances are left outside, in the open area between the building and the roadway. The other concerns I have would be that DelDOT grant a letter of no objection, because I do know that County Road 84, which is Bayard Road, they are, every property that comes before you in that area now is being requested to give an additional 10-foot of right-of-way. They're looking for that road to be an 80-foot wide road in the future. It's also at an intersection where across the street from this property, the older building actually goes to the right-of-way line, and it's a poor intersection as far as visibility, seeing around it from Daisy Road onto Bayard Road. So my concern would be a traffic concern as well. I'm fine with the hours that she's presented. I really, the number one thing is the look of the place and keeping it neat. And on-site parking for those that are going to be purchasing there. And fire marshal, because there's also been a fire on the property, so I would be concerned that the state fire marshal walk the shop and make sure it's to code, and that any additional buildings on the property are built to the setbacks.
In terms of your objection to the visual, if there were a condition requiring or limiting the ability or prohibiting the ability to have outside displays of merchandise, would that affect your position?
Yes, it would certainly help the position, yes.
Okay. Then your objection would be the traffic.
The traffic. And I also have, and I'm here representing myself and also Jay and Andy Houck, who own property also across the street. And I'm also presenting a letter from Custom Mechanical, Glenn Roberts, who owns property across the street and property down the road from this particular property. And I'd like to read that, and then I'll turn that over to the council.
Would you give that to Mr. Lang, the gentleman down?
Should I read it first?
Do you want to read it in the record?
Okay, sure.
Should I read it? As neighbors of Uncle Sugar's Thrift Shack and local moving company, we at Custom Mechanical are happy to support their request for conditional use. However, our prime concern as the roads and areas surrounding us continue to grow and change are the safety of business patrons as well as the quality of life for all nearby businesses and homes. As such, we would request that conditional use be granted to Uncle Sugar's with the following guidelines to ensure the safety and quality of life for all affected now and in the coming years. Off-site parking for patrons and moving vans. This is especially important for the safety of Uncle Sugar's patrons and preventing them from having to cross a street mere yards from the intersection of Daisy and Bayard Road. Maintenance and upkeep of the storefront and surrounding land in accordance with a professional aesthetic and applicable state and county codes for commercial establishment, and the addition of restrooms for use by the employees and patrons as needed, as need necessitates. Thank you for your consideration in this matter. And I'll turn that into.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ford. Next lady who had her hand up.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Esslinger. My address is 35598 Labrador Lane. That's a private road. My property abuts Bayard Road. It's sort of catty corner across from Uncle Sugar's. I believe I'm within 200 feet of her property, and I didn't receive any notice of this application for conditional use. I don't have any objections to her continuing her business there, although I do have the same concerns about the stuff outside in front of the business and the condition of the building. Ms. Nicholson has done a nice job fixing up her house. She added a porch and a nice fence, and she fixed up her garage, and everything looks very nice there. and the store behind is in terrible condition. I think if she fixed it up, really, it would be a very nice little shop that people would want to come to. But I would hope that it wouldn't grow any larger, and I have the same issues with the stuff out front today. There's an old chest freezer, an old gas grill, some rusty shelves, some old bed frames and things like that that I don't think anyone's going to buy. But I would hope that it would get fixed up.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Ms. Nicholson told us that Uncle Sugar is no longer at that location. Is that your understanding?
That's correct. I would also ask that that the trucks not be allowed to come back. We have had issues with the trucks in the past, but we've moved on from that. So, thank you
very much.
Can you state your name again, please, for the record?
It's Chris Esslinger. The last name is spelled E, S as in Sam, L-I-N-G-E-R.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application?
I got a question, if I could have Ms. Nicholson stand up. Do you sell used furniture or used appliances?
Everything.
Occasionally appliances, yeah.
Could we have her come forward, because the recorder won't pick her up back there.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry, I forgot to ask you a while ago when you were up here. You do sell used appliances and furniture?
Yes, only occasionally appliances, though.
Okay, is that mainly what they're concerned with, outside storage, the appearance of the used furniture out there?
Yeah. As far as the rusty shelves, I just cleaned out my shed. I just haven't gotten any dumpster.
So we could, being this conditional use, we can put stipulations on it saying that we limit the outside storage, or we can do something there. We can tweak it a little bit.
Sure.
Okay.
Could you operate your business with no outside display?
No, I couldn't. My building's not that big.
So you're leaving. You leave stuff permanently out there, right, all the time.
Right now, there's
it's a constant,
patio chairs and tables. There is a little chest freezer I just took out of my shed and a filing cabinet.
I mean, I'm kind of familiar with this kind of line of work.
Yeah, I
and all I know is the weather. It really does a lot of damage to most things, whether it's an appliance or furniture. So there is a concern, and I've had a few people call me about the condition of the stuff, and then it gets to be no value, and then it's not worth even moving.
Exactly.
And I think that seems to be the problem. And I saw on the site plan you didn't even designate, there's nothing designated for a parking area or what you intend to use as a display area. Is there any way, Mr. Lank, that we could maybe...
It would have to be it would be required in the final site plan if you use it approved.
Well, I mean, what I wouldn't mind, maybe we ought to be able to see it so that we could comment on it better. Is it possible that we could defer, well, since it is deferred, to ask her to have somebody, whoever drew this, to draw in another one showing a proposed parking area? Because in her front of her new store, her house, the way it stands now, you could put display anywhere.
Right.
It's not in a designated area, and if they're not familiar with what your place looks like.
I understand.
It basically looks like it could go anywhere on the site.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend that we ought to make it.
Couldn't we trust that to P&Z, let them?
Well, I think we ought to. I mean, the people commenting on it are concerned about display, and I think we ought to at least know where the display area might be, and I guess we could get her to revise this, is all I was thinking.
Could you ask?
I'd like to see it before I vote on it.
Mr. Cole, could you ask Ms. Nicholson to take a copy of this and tell us where the parking would be and where the outside storage areas would
be? She may not know dimensions and things of that.
I realize
she may
that.
Not be qualified for that. But.
You need to go back to the podium so that we have to create a record of everything said.
Follow the rules.
This, the old shed buildings here is where the store is, and there is now a concrete pad poured in front of it. It used to be just nothing but mud out there most of the time, but that's all concrete padded. I've got a dumpster over here on this end of this building, which is where most people park. There's like two or three space for two or three cars over there, and that's normally where the trucks pull up as well. Across the road from me, and I know this is the corner most people are concerned about, but this is where Custom Mechanical is. So I'd be a fool to be parking in front of somebody else's business. And they use most of this road for their trucks that are coming and going all day. So there is room to pull up in front of where my concrete pad is and not be in the road, but it's not actually a, you know, a parking area. But like I said, it's unusual for there to be more than three cars ever in front of my store. So.
And where, if you want to, sure, if you propose outside display, where would that be?
Right here, where the concrete pad.
On the concrete pad.
Correct.
Okay.
Is that where the public's speaking of where you display now?
Yes.
And you leave it out there? You don't take it in? With the hours you're keeping, it looks like you're open, you know, pretty much all week long. And do you, after, like every night, you take it back in or you just leave it
some out? Some items, yes. If
it's something special, I assume it goes back in.
Yeah, the rest, but I mean, I can't.
Do you just leave it out and let it roll?
Tarp most things. Like the appliances would get tarped. But other things like the outdoor furniture, you know, there's patio furniture out there and that kind of stuff. It's just left.
Does that answer your question on the parking, Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I was just, and I talked to her, Mr. Lank. I was wondering if there's a way she could do anything in that. The building is good size, but the way it sits, it's encroaching right on the setback, so there really isn't much of a room to put a canopy out over top of that. So she has a dilemma whether to approve and allow the outside display or not. That seems to be the dilemma.
Okay. And I
don't think anybody questions about your the use of the building and what you're doing and all that stuff. It's just the way it's.
And because the moving company is not located and there anymore, there's a lot of that stuff is gone. So. It's just.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a seat. Mr. Blank, Mr.
Sir.
Jones has a question for you.
I noticed that a large percentage of the buildings are in the setback. Is that?
They're non-conforming buildings except in the house meets a code.
Okay.
The house and the existing garage next to the house have been there how long?
Forever.
Well,
long time.
Anything new there was actually the house.
Old Senator Tom Hickman's house at one point, but then my house burned down and was replaced.
The new residence is anything that's new. Everything else is
30
plus years old.
So it's done almost before zoning.
Non-conforming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. You can have a seat. Mr. Griffin.
The two ladies that spoke in opposition, are you still here?
Yes, back there.
Okay. Since Ms. Nicholson was asked some questions, does that prompt anything you want to tell us before the hearing is closed?
Well, I would...
Could you come down forward if you wish to speak? We have to be able to have the microphone pick up your comments.
It would certainly be an improvement if the display was kept inside, yes.
Thank you.
But for the note, too, signage, I would just like it to be a legal commercial business and done for everybody else, as everybody else has to do it.
Thank you.
Okay.
I agree with that statement.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Is there anyone else here?
Hearing condition. Close the hearing.
The hearing will be closed. Council will defer making a decision until after they have the recommendation of the Planning Commission.
I need a motion, gentlemen.
Making conditions.
Yeah.
Make a motion, make defer.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second of Mr. Rogers, or Mr. Jones, to defer on CU 1701. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Next hearing.
Next application is conditional use number 1702. It's the application of Shiloh House of